kind of remind us that faith is a very, very important aspect of our life that ought to affect everything that we do and be able to affect everything that we are. And, in the book of Hebrews, and you can look at it if you would, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, the 38th verse, we read that the just shall live by faith. And the word that is translated faith in that particular verse is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And it means to live by faithfulness, or to live faithfully with God. And this particular verse in Hebrews says, now the just, those who are justified, those who have been changed by the power of Christ, will live by faithfulness. But then the verse goes on to say, and if a man draws back or turns away, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in that individual. Now the just shall live by faith, but if a man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure. Now, that becomes a very important reminder of the value of our faith. And placing our faith in Christ and then walking with Him day by day, hour by hour, month by month, and not just for 45 minutes on a Sunday morning. But I'm walking with Him and realizing that Jesus Christ goes with us everywhere that we go. And that He gives us guidance and direction every place that we go. And that He will help us with every decision that we must make, no matter what that decision is. He is available to offer to us His guidance, His direction. I want to share with you very briefly this morning these four elements of faith. I want to share with you, first of all, the person of faith. Secondly, the promise of faith. Third, the prayer of faith. And then last, the power of faith. And as we look at these four elements, I think that we'll have a little better grip on how much faith affects every portion of our lives. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank You. I want to thank You for bringing these here today that You have brought to Your house. I want to thank You for Your love and for Your mercy, for Your kindness and Your care. Lord, I want to thank You for greeting us when we woke up this morning. I want to thank You for being with us as we journeyed to be here in Your house. I want to thank You for greeting us when we drove in the parking lot. Lord, I want to thank You for greeting us as we entered the doors. Lord, I want to thank You for each of these that You have brought together for this moment in time. And Lord, I ask that each and every one of us would have a heart that is open to You, so that our passions for You might overshadow everything that we think, everything that we say, and everything that we do. And Lord, we'll give You thanks for what You accomplish in our lives. And as You fit us to leave this place today, Father, may You fit us to serve You and to be aware of the opportunities of service You give us. For it's in Your glorious name we pray. Amen. The very first thing that we want to look at is we want to look at the person of faith. Who do we place our faith in? You know, far too many individuals place their faith in themselves. You know, I can do it all. I remember years ago there used to be a commercial on TV for a product called Nike Shoes. And their motto was, just do it. Just do it. That's a kind of a neat motto, kind of a neat, catchy little thing. The only problem is we too often take that so literally that when we think just do it, we think we're going to do it in our own strength. We're going to do it in our own power. We're going to be our own individual. We're going to do things our way. You know, like Frank Sinatra used to sing, you know, I did it my way. You know, instead of looking at life through that spectrum and through those eyeglasses, maybe we need to look at doing things God's way and how He would have our lives lived in this present world. Hebrews chapter 12, the second verse, notice what it says. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the person of faith. You know what, folks? When you set your eyes on yourself, when you set your eyes on your will, you're wrapping yourself up in too small of a package. You are just simply looking to yourself. But when you fix your eyes upon Jesus, He opens up this world and this life in an amazing way. And He opens up the opportunities to be able to make an eternal difference. I want to ask you, when was the last time you made an eternal difference in someone else's life? When was the last time? You know, that's what Jesus has called us to do. To make eternal differences in people's lives. I came back from vacation this week and I was greeted with the message, Andrew isn't going to be with us this summer. He's going to be at Camp Allegheny as a counselor. And it was an amazing thing because I was greeted by Randy and Cindy in the parking lot when we were coming home, and they were telling us this, and they were dancing. Why would that be, Andrew?
I have no idea.
No, that's not quite the way it happened. But you know, what I was told was that Andrew was going to be giving opportunities. He was going to be given a chance to be able to make an eternal difference in people's lives over this summer. Man, what a privilege. What a privilege. We need to pray for Andrew. And for his friend that he brought with him. I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Travis?
Are you sure? Okay. He thinks that he's sure. His name is Travis. But Travis as well is going to have this opportunity. And you know what? There's going to be some kid that grows up in life and they're going to say, Travis or Andrew pointed me to the person of faith. The one that I need to put my trust and confidence in so that I can have eternal life. Can I shock you with something? This life is not about you. It's about Jesus. This life is not about me. It's about Jesus. This life is not about Travis or Andrew. It's about Jesus. We're getting ready, starting this evening, to have VBS here at the church. I'm going to tell you, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And if all we do is see that kids have fun, we've lost. We really have. How have we lost? By not pointing people to the person of faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's the person of faith, Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want you to notice the promise of faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says this: let us hold fast the confession of our faith. The confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. What is your hope? I want you to think about that just a second. What is your hope? I've got Eric sitting back there, and he's going, "Man, I hope my wife fixes a good lunch today." Right, Eric? She always makes a good lunch. Boy, there's a diplomatic man. You know, but too often we look at what our hopes are in the very temporary things. What is this about now? You know, what's going on in my life? You know, I hope that my job stays secure. I hope that, you know, all of those different types of things that we focus on that are temporary things. But what about what this verse talks about when it says the confession of our hope? What is our hope in? Our hope ought to be in eternal life. Our hope ought to be in doing the will of our Father. Our hope ought to be in every aspect of spiritual things so that we can make a difference and we can be made different. So that we reflect the image of Jesus Christ in this world. I love what the Apostle Peter wrote when he said, "Let the same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let the same mind be in you. What do you suppose the mind of Jesus is focused on? What do you suppose the mind of Jesus was focused on? That Leaving 99 song that the team did this morning. Man, are you that one that Jesus leaves the 99 to go and find? When you wander, then you are. When do we wander? When we don't live out our faith. when we don't hold the confession of our hope dear to us, when we don't embrace Jesus Christ and His will and His passions, that's when we lose. Do you know that there are individuals in this world that God is having you to influence? You are the one. You are the one. There are people that, for example, I will never be able to reach that you can. There are people that Randy will never be able to reach, but Cindy can. You see, we are here for a purpose and for a reason. And that is to make an eternal difference in people's lives. Once again, it's not about us, but it's about Him. And so we need to hold tight to this faith so that we can honor the promise of faith without wavering. The next thing is the prayer of faith. In Matthew chapter 21, the 22nd verse, Jesus is talking with the disciples. And He's kind of telling them, boys, I want you to know something. Whatever you ask in faith, believing, you're going to get it. Now, some take that verse and they say that that means you want a pink Cadillac, you can have a pink Cadillac. Some say you want a huge mansion, that means you can have a huge mansion. It's not what Jesus is talking about at all. But you want to know something? When it comes to the will of God and the faith of the individual, this promise is that, man, whatever you want, you can have. Do you want a closer, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? If you pray in faith, believing, you're going to have that. Because that's what God wants for you too. Do you have that individual that you really have a burden for who's lost? Man, if you pray in faith, believing, God's going to work on them in a real powerful way. And He's going to grant you that. You know why? Because it's not God's will that that person perish. But it's God's will that that person come to life in Christ. What do you want? What is it that is the passion of your life? The prayer of faith, praying, believing. This is not a prayer of faith. Dear Lord, you know Bill. What a rotten person. I don't believe you can save him, but if there's anything you can do, just go ahead and do it. Amen. What a lousy prayer. And yet far too often, that is the consistency of our prayers. Lord, I don't believe it. I don't believe you can do anything. I don't believe you want to do anything. But I'm doing my duty. That's not praying in faith, believing. Lord, I want intimacy with you. I want a deeper walk with you. And I know you want that with me as well. And so I'm committing myself. And I'm going to be disciplined. And I'm going to read your word. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm going to pray for the lost. And I'm going to pray for the missionaries throughout the world. And I'm going to pray for your will to be accomplished in so many different ways, and whatever way you direct me, And Lord, I'm going to pray for those who are involved in serving you. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray. God says that kind of prayer is going to be answered. And there's going to be a difference made in this world because of that kind of prayer. Let's get out of the Lord, give me mindset. And get into the Lord, use me mindset. Do what you will through me, so that your will can be accomplished. That's a prayer of faith. And it'll make a difference. And then last, and I'll move quickly, is the power of faith. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, we read that we are kept by the power of God through faith. We are kept by the power of God through faith. You know, there's a lot of people who really deep down inside would like to become believers, but they're so overpowered by the society and by this world and by the social pressures and the peer pressures and all of the pressures that come along, even the selfishness and the self-centered pressures we place on ourselves, that those things hinder individuals from coming to faith in Christ. And I'm going to tell you, folks, this is why we see a huge departure from the church when our young people graduate from high school, and go to college, and they throw their faith aside. Over 70% of Christian kids walk away from the church once they graduate from high school. You know why? Because their faith is not settled in Jesus Christ. To them, their faith has no power. But their peers do, and their professors do, but their faith doesn't. You know what? If you don't know what to pray for our young people, that they would be faithful. There was a situation right before Jesus ascended back to heaven. And he's meeting with the disciples. The resurrection has taken place. And he looks right at Peter. And he says, "Peter, I want you to know that Satan is seeking to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith remain strong." Wow. Do you know that Satan would sift you like wheat? Do you know that Satan is sifting our young people like wheat? Now here it comes. You know it's coming. Most of the time, our young people walk away because they do not see commitment and faithfulness in their parents. You're an influence, parents. The things that you hold dear, your kids will hold dear. The things that you embrace, your kids will embrace. God talked about that in the Old Testament when he talked about the power of sin. And he said, the sins of the parent shall be visited on the children to the second and the third generation. The weaknesses of the parents, the sins of the parents, will be visited on the second and third generation. Oh, parents. What does that mean for the strengths of the parents? That as well will bring a heritage. Don't you want your kids to have a heritage of faith? Don't you want your kids to have the opportunities to the second and the third generation to build? Then you better be faithful. Get out of the self-centered me, my, and get into the mindset of Jesus, whatever you want. That's what I'll be. I'll sacrifice my time and go to church. I'll sacrifice my time and study the Bible. I'll sacrifice my time and pray. I'll sacrifice my time and do whatever I can, Lord, for you. And all I'm going to ask is that you let my kids see the commitment and the faith so they have a chance. Because Satan wants to sift your kids like wheat. But we have a great intercessor. His name is Jesus. Be faithful. Be faithful. And see what God does. Let's stand. I watched New York Yankees play baseball last night. Score was 3-0. Suddenly it was 3-3. Then the Yankees went up by 1. I'm going, way to go. Way to go. Hang on. And that's over a sports game. Which, by the way, they did hang on. They won 4-3. Thank you. You know what? I would rather have Jesus say to me, way to go, Len. You stayed true. You stayed faithful. You didn't let yourself get in the way. But you did my will. I'd rather hear those words than anything. How about you? What do you want to hear when you get to heaven? Jesus saying, you gave your kids lots of stuff. Proud of you. Depart from me. Or do you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your joy. What do you want to hear? Our gracious Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would have a heart that beats with your heart. That each and every one of us would have the passions that you have. And not ourselves and our selfishness. Father, help us to honor you in everything that we do. Lord, there may be some here today who are saying, you know, I'm not where I need to be. Lord, let them in this very moment commit themselves fully and completely to you. And then, Lord, to walk in faithfulness so that your soul can be pleased in them. Father, help us all to honor you, for it's in your glorious and awesome and powerful name that we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for being here. Please give us a moment to get to the back. Sorry I kept you over. God bless you.